I think one of the most frustrating situations for those of us in sales is when someone decides to ghost us. In this week's episode of the Sales Playbook Podcast, we're going to talk about what you can do about it. My name is Paul Castain from Castain Training Systems, and I'm the author of the YourSalesPlaybook.com blog and your host for the Sales Playbook Podcast. I've personally trained over 50,000 sales reps, sales leaders, and business owners to sell more. So get your playbooks ready because school is now in session. This week's episode of the Sales Playbook Podcast is brought to you by our upcoming webinar, How to Close More Deals in the Fourth Quarter. It's going to be coming up on October 6, 2021. And we're going to talk all about it at the end of the podcast. If you happen to be impatient like I am, and of course you're in a place where you can do so safely, please visit yoursalesplaybook.com/finish. Strong. So today we're going to be talking about something that I know pisses every one of us off. It is the most frustrating, even at times humiliating thing to have happened to us in sales. And it's this whole practice or concept or whatever the hell you want to call it of ghosting. Now, for those of you who don't know, and even if you do know, I always think it's good to have a working definition when we begin a discussion. This way we're all attacking it from the same perspective. This way, you know, you're not thinking of ghosting one way, I'm thinking of it another way, and so on and so forth. So the definition we're going to use here, I robbed it from the interweb, so it must be true. It's the practice of ending a personal relationship. In this case, it could be obviously a business relationship, because we're not really talking about dating, but the concept of ending a relationship with someone suddenly and without explanation, withdrawing from all communication. And that's happened to us, where all of a sudden everything is going fine and then nothing. Dead air, radio silence, a flat line, if you will. They're not returning the calls. They're not responding to the emails. And there we are. We're kind of left guessing. So before I get into two simple things that you can do, I think it's very important to acknowledge that there are really things that we should be doing on the front end to limit the possibility of someone ghosting us. I think that's very, very important, because a lot of the time in sales, we spend all this effort talking about a response to something, which is more the symptom, if you will, than attacking the bigger problem. A great example, a great case in point would be how we usually attack, we refer to as handling objections. And we look at it from the perspective of, well, if someone says not interested, you should respond with this. If someone says I'm under contract, you should respond with that. And that's an important part of the conversation. But I think a better conversation to have is, what could we do on the front end to, wouldn't it be great if we could eliminate these things altogether? Well, we're not that good. But what could we do on the front end to reduce the possibility of these things happening? So again, I want to be very clear about something. When it comes to getting ghosted, you need to understand that there are things on the front end that you should be doing. And I want to let you know that webinar that I mentioned at the very beginning is, we're going to be talking about that. That's one of the topics that we're going to get into, what you can do on the front end. But for today, here you are in a situation where you feel that you've been ghosted. What can you do? So there's two things that we're going to talk about. The first one is an email. And I can tell you, I know that this works, because number one, and I'm going to tell you the story in a minute, it was actually used on me and it made me feel so shitty, but in a good way, if there's such a thing, right? I felt shitty in a good way. or at least good for the sales rep, because I took action and bought the damn thing. And I've also taught it to all of my coaching clients. I've taught it in my webinars, and I've used it in my pretty much, you know, day-to-day selling efforts. So, quick story. Get your milk and cookies. So, a few years back, in fact, it was more than a few years back. It had to be damn near 10 years ago because I started Castain Training Systems. It was 2011, so 10 years ago. It's actually about 10 and a half years ago that I started the business back in March. And I'll never forget, I was like, well, you know, it might be nice being that I'm also going to be hunting for business out there, that I have a proper CRM. So I was speaking to the folks over at Salesforce. And I'll never forget, it was year end, that first year in business. And I had had a few conversations with the sales rep, and she was fantastic. And we were in agreement, and I was going to move forward. And then she'd send an email, and I didn't respond. And then maybe she'd call, and I didn't respond. Now, just in my own defense, I need to do, in the words of the great, late, great Ricky Ricardo, a little splaining. I got caught up. Now, again, I'm not justifying dickish behavior, which is what I was guilty of. But things happen, no? I mean, you get caught up. Don't tell me you don't, because I talk to some of you guys about doing training, about being your coach, and you get caught up. Things happen. And that's what happened to me. And again, all right, inexcusable, but I got caught up. And I'll never forget, after what probably was a good amount of effort that this sales rep had made to just bring the deal home already. It wasn't even a lot of money. It was, if I told you how much the deal was for, you'd think I was a bigger jackass. So right now, I'd like to stop at the point where you think I'm only like, you know, a moderately sized jackass, not a huge jugumbo one. So she finally sends this email that I highly recommend you have in your arsenal. And she used my name in the subject line, which is important, by the way. We've talked a lot about that when we've done the podcasts on email marketing and increasing your response rates and all. And for a lot of reasons, you should do it. But I think the best reason I can offer you is that people have been taught, really from the time they were born, to respond to the sound of their own name. So we put that in the subject line, or she did in this case, and it was simply, Paul, how should we proceed? So we're going to call this email template the how should we proceed email. So you put their name in the subject line, and the subject line is how should we proceed. So if you're sending this out to Mary, it will be, Mary, how should we proceed? Now, a word of caution. If you're sending this to Tom, don't refer to him as Mary. Tom might knock your effing jaw loose. So don't do that. Don't ask me how I know. Now, when I opened up this email, right, because that is kind of an intriguing subject line. It's a little different. So I was like, oh, man, well, you know, what's up? So she was kind of, in a way, doing a pattern interrupt. She was going off the script. Because a lot of the time, I want you to think about this, because I believe this is pretty important. A lot of the time, when we're in a situation where we've been ghosted, a lot of the flavor of the emails and phone calls and just communication in general becomes just following up, just calling to check in, wanted to circle back, wanted to touch base. So what happens is that people are programmed, right? It's like a stimulus response situation, the stimulus being that type of flavor of communication. Then they go into their default position, which I really believe is that of evasion. They're evading you at this point. Not because they're not interested, not because they think you're a jackass. I hope that's not the case. I mean, it could be, right? It happens. But most of the time, it's just they have other things going on, and they kind of flake out on you. Really, I mean, I know that's not much of an explanation, but I really believe that's what can happen sometimes. Or, you know, maybe they haven't done some of the things they needed to do to keep the deal moving forward, and now they feel, you know, like an idiot for not doing it. It's just easier not to respond. So what we want to do is kind of break that pattern. So again, subject line, name of the prospect, how should we proceed? Now, what this person did from Salesforce is that they opened up the email kind of like, and I'm giving you the flavor of it, I'm not reading it word for word, but the flavor was kind of, you know, they greeted me and they said, you know, when we first started discussing possibility of working together back in, and then they stated the month that we started doing it. So first of all, that was the first gentle nudge in that email. When they pointed out the fact, and this is embarrassing, that we had been discussing this for 90 days. And now I'm like, oh man, I'm a dick. I mean, we're at this 90 days, and it's not like I'm trying to make a decision here on, I don't know, a mortgage or something. It was a CRM for my business that was practically pennies a month. So that was the first gentle nudge. So when we first started discussing this back in, you know, maybe it was like August or whatever, 2011, you know, you mentioned to me that, you know, the following things were important to you, and then just very, just bulleted, boom, boom, boom. You know, we both agreed, now she went on, we kind of both agreed that, you know, the blah, blah, blah solution could not only do that, but could offer the following. And again, it was just bulleted. It wasn't War and Peace. It was brief, to the point. The whole point of kind of reiterating those things was just, again, just to kind of jog the memory. So it's, oh yeah, I remember that conversation. Then she went on, and she wasn't doing it like a in-your-face, Castain, type of tone. She said, you know, I'm a bit confused because you seem very excited about this and in moving forward. And, you know, I've tried to reach you on multiple occasions, you know, and I'm assuming you must be busy. But, you know, kind of like in the spirit of being respectful to you, which I love, in the spirit of being respectful to you, I'd simply like to know, how should we proceed? Could you please let me know either way? And I'm like, holy shit. I, you know, first of all, I'm an awful human being for doing this. I felt horrible, but not like, you know, the kind of guilt where it's like, now I really got to avoid her. Not that kind of guilt. This was like, you know, I'm an idiot, and I need to fix this situation. And I got to tell you, man, maybe I'm just too much of an optimist on certain things. Other things, I'm a over-the-top pessimist, to be quite honest with you. But maybe I have too much faith in mankind. But I really believe that the majority of the people that we deal with are good. They're good people. They're not, you know, awful human beings. So to the good human beings out there, I believe this approach is going to appeal to them. So that's approach number one. It's simply, how should we proceed? Now, just keep in mind that both of these approaches don't have to be an email. You could actually, if you wanted to leave it, I prefer an email, by the way, in this case. But, you know, you could also leave this, use this as the format for a voicemail that you were leaving for them, right? You could do that. So just keep that in mind. Now, the second approach is, I've stolen this one from Chris Voss, author of Never Split the Difference, amazing negotiation book. Now, what he has this phrase that he talks about, and this is going to be the name of the email. Again, it could be a voicemail format that you're going to use or whatever. And he uses this phrase when people have kind of, you know, gone offline and they're not communicating anymore. And in this context, they have ghosted you. And he has this phrase, have you given up? Right? And in this case, we're going to, you know, we're going to, but it's, oh, I'm sorry, I actually said that wrong. Have you given up on, or whatever? So, again, in this context, let's just say, let's use my business because, man, something's wrong if I don't understand sales training, right? That's what I sell every single day, or, you know, coaching for sales reps or whatever. So let's just say that you have reached out to me and we've been talking about me becoming your sales coach. Everything was going fine. All of a sudden, you've ghosted me. Now I really hate you. I mean, how could you do that to me? Come on, you're hanging out with me now. I'm in your earbuds. I'm riding shotgun in the car. And you do that shit to me? Come on, man. No, I'm kidding, but only a little. But you've now ghosted me. And I'm trying to reach you. You're not calling me back. I'm sending you emails. You're not calling me back. I'm trying to do it in a way that I'm not being a pain in the ass. You're still not getting back to me. And again, it's a simple yes and no, isn't it? Right? And it's a matter of common courtesy. But I don't want to get all indignant. I don't want to act as if I am entitled to that response. And you know, I don't know. Maybe I shouldn't go off on this tangent. I really believe, and there are some that disagree with me, and that's fine. It keeps it interesting. I do believe you are entitled to a response. At this, if you have met with somebody and you have presented a solution, you know, you've done the whole process, right? I mean, I just think it's common courtesy that they do owe you a response. They have taken up your time. And yes, you have taken up their time too, but it's really a very simple thing. They don't owe you their business, but I do think they owe you a response. I don't think when you're prospecting that every person you leave a voicemail or every person you send an email to, I don't think they owe you shit. But in this case, I believe your time is valuable too, and they owe you the response. But I think it's very important. Now, you could hear I was getting a little passionate about it, maybe a little shitty, but I think it's very important that that's not conveyed in the communication, because I believe then that just conditions additional blow-offs, additional ghosting. We don't want that. So with the whole have you given up thing, so let's just say again, now you're ghosting me. So I can now use this approach from Chris Voss. And the way that email subject line might be, I could put, you know, and what I would choose to do in that, because I like to put a little mystery in the subject line to get them to open the email. Especially now, if we're engaged in kind of a pattern, if you will, that I reach out and you promptly disregard that communication. I need to break that pattern a little bit. So one of the ways I'm going to do it is I'm going to use a little mystery in the subject line. I'm going to use your name in the subject line. Again, let's just say I'm reaching out to Mary. It's going to be, Mary, have you given up? And I'm going to put three little, you know, periods there. And, you know, kind of like dot, dot, dot. And I was just thinking of something funny. But anyway, I think of funny things. I'm not going to share. I'm sorry. I don't know. But so I'm going to do that for a little bit of intrigue. But if you choose not to do that, you could also, again, with the same scenario, I'm trying to get Mary to respond. Mary and I have talked about a coaching relationship. I could simply put, Mary, have you given up on hiring a sales coach? Right? I choose not to do that because it just kind of shows all my, you know, it reveals my total hand in the subject line, and then I may not get any more from there. Right? So now, you ready for a left hook? This is where the left hook comes in. So now, in a way, there's two different ways that you could go with this. You can kind of go the same route as the have you, you know, or I'm sorry, how should we proceed email, where again you say, I've enjoyed talking with you about A, B, and C. You know, when we first started talking back in blah, 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 you know, you seem very excited and you know, you said that, you know, you were looking for this. We all agreed that this, this, and this would be some good benefits that you could realize from using our solution and blah, 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 right? So you could certainly do that in an email. But I think you should use a little psychology and a free app. A little psychology and a free app. So let's talk about the free app. One of the things, and I'm not affiliated with them, one of the things I talk about a lot, and actually, I was probably one of the first sales trainers out there that was talking about this. I was talking about this as early as, I think it was either 2016 or 2017. Now everybody's starting to talk about it. But I was talking about this concept of using embedded videos in your emails. And the app that I highly recommend you use, there's a free version of it, which will work just fine. There's also a paid version, but either way, I want you to download an app called Vidyard. And you can go to vidyard.com. You could go to whatever app store that you're using, but it's V-I-D-Y-A-R-D, Vidyard. What this allows you to do, I have this right on my phone. I can shoot a very quick video. And when I say a very quick video, I like to keep the videos that I'm going to embed and send to a potential client at about 58 to 59 seconds. Never do I like to go beyond a minute. Why? Because people can usually see how long the video is. And just think about it. You have a busy decision maker, and they see some 7-minute video. Like, F this. I don't have time for this. I don't even have time to respond to you, man. Let alone now you want me to watch War and Peace here, jackass? So what I try to keep it under a minute, because I know a lot of people have my philosophy. I'm a business owner, just like you guys. I'm a busy type of dude, but I'll give anyone a minute. I don't mind giving you a minute. So that's harmless to me, a minute. But I start seeing shit over a minute, 2 minutes, forget it, man. Ain't nobody got time for that. So what you do in that video now is you want to get yourself a dry erase board, a small one, like an 8.5x11 one. And you could get those over at like Staples or Amazon or whatever. I had to buy a new one. Mine was like getting really like kind of fugly, to be honest with you. It was looking bad. And I bought a new one probably about a year ago or whatever. I bought it on Amazon. I think I spent, I don't know, like maybe $13 or something like that. It was ridiculous, man. So get yourself a little dry erase board. And what you're going to do is you're going to just, whatever the name of the person is, again, we've been talking about Mary this whole time. Let's say it's Mary, right? So this technique only works for a Mary, just so you know. And you're just going to write, "Hi, Mary," on the dry erase board. And you want to make sure that the video opens with you holding that in one hand, smiling, and waving, right? And at the same, you know, you're holding that thing, says, "Hi, Mary." Now you address Mary, and you can simply go through the same things that we talked about in the "How should we proceed" email. And in, but now you're speaking it instead of writing it. Now, I don't want to get into, again, word for word what you should write, because I'm going to be supplying the template to everyone who attends the webinar that we have coming up. But I do want to get into the psychology. Now, in the first tactic, we talked about an email. This is still going to be an email, but now here's where the psychology comes into play. There's going to be embedded into the body of that email. That's what this whole Vidyard app does, by the way. After you shoot that quick video, It just walks you through step by step. I mean, within pretty much seconds, less than a minute, you get that thing, that bad boy, embedded into the email, so it will appear as a graphic. Now, what's cool about it now, this is where the psychology comes into play. The image that they're probably going to see, because it's going to be a static image that gets embedded into the email, they're going to see your smiling face waving, and they're going to see their name. You know, hi, Mary. Here's where the psychology comes into play. Personally, unless you are a real, and pardon my language, but I'm kind of just speaking like we're hanging out in my backyard and I don't care about my language, but I really think you have to be a real piece of shit to turn away a human being who's basically looking right into your eyes, smiling, waving, and calling you by name and a little sign, for God's sakes, that says, hi, Mary. Seriously. I think it's harder to blow something like that off than just a simple static email or even a voicemail. Seriously, it's a lot harder to disregard that. And it brings something into play that I think is missing from the sales process today, especially within the last year when we've gone into more of a virtual model. But I think we've lost a lot of the human-to-human touch. Now, you could tell me that, yeah, but, you know, we're doing more things like Zoom and everything like that. Yeah, you're right. We are. But by the same token, there's a lot of people who aren't using those tools who are still waiting it out to go face-to-face again. So I think that we're desperately craving more human-to-human contact. But I just think from a psychological perspective, it's a lot harder to turn somebody away when they're looking into your eyes. They're smiling, they're waving, and they have a sign with your name on it saying, you know, hi, Mary. So those are the two tactics. The first one is, how should we proceed? The second one is an embedded email. You're going to use an app called Vidyard. It's free. There is a paid version, like I said. You can do it. Everything I told you to do today can be done with the free version. You shoot that video, it will embed it for you. Make sure you get that dry erase board. You write their name on it. And then what you're going, your script, if you will, is going to be the script that you use or the format that I laid out for you today with the how should we proceed email. And that's basically it. That's it. I mean, there's no rocket science to this, but I do want to reiterate something that I mentioned at the very beginning of the podcast. Please do not think that the only way to embrace this whole idea of being ghosted is through a better response to being ghosted. I think the best medicine here is preventative medicine, but I realize that that's not going to help you today. If you have a situation where you feel like you've been ghosted, you want to kind of draw them out. You want to do something that breaks the pattern. You want to do something that appeals to their human side and to their emotions and everything. And, you know, we've heard this a lot in sales, that people buy emotionally and they justify logically. And that's very, very true. And we think of that in the context of how they make that decision. And I think sometimes we forget that, you know, we can jolt there. We're allowed to jolt other emotions too. You know, like the emotion of, well, you know, I'm kind of blowing off another human being. Kind of like, in a way, I guess, kind of like that that mother-in-law guilt, right? But without like making them necessarily feel guilty. So again, we talked about two tactics. They are completely worthless till you get out there and you do something with it. What I'd like for you to do is give it a try. And once you give it a shot, I'm just anxious. Yeah, don't just try it one place. Try it, you know, a couple of times, right? If you have a few instances where people just ghosted you, whatever. And let me know what happens. I'm just curious. And you could certainly email me, paul@yoursalesplaybook.com. And I'd love to hear it. Okay, now, before you go, if this was something that was valuable to you today, understand that we're going to be getting into some of the preventative medicine to prevent the ghosting. We're also going to be getting into the actual templates that I use when I feel I've been ghosted or my clients feel that they've been ghosted. Come and join us then on October 6th for our How to Close More Deals in the Fourth Quarter webinar. It's going to be a 90-minute webinar. As always, if you can't join us live, I always record the webinars. I send out the webinar replay usually within an hour of when we've concluded the webinar. So let's just say we finish up at 1 p.m. on the 6th. By 2 p.m., you're going to be getting the webinar replay. So you don't have to be there. And you'll also, of course, get all the cool little freebies and you know, additional things that I include in the webinar, like the templates and all. Now, let me just tell you very, very quickly what we're going to be talking about in this webinar. We're going to be talking about, first of all, how to find higher probability prospects. And by the way, I am going to just give you a little spoiler alert. This one is absolutely free. Do you know, once you know how to find higher probability prospects, you actually lower the probability of people ghosting you. So that's one of the ways that you can do it. But how do you find them, right? That's one of the things we're going to be talking about. We're going to be talking about the FedEx that you absolutely have to send before every new prospect meeting. We're going to talk about how you can take immediate control of your deals without being manipulative or controlling. We're going to get into five types of questions that propel your deals forward. And I will give you another spoiler alert. If you're thinking, oh man, here we go, another sales trainer is going to give us a, you know, a needs analysis 101. You need to ask open questions and close questions. I'm going to tell you something. As sick as you guys are of hearing that, you could not pay me enough to teach that shit to you. I was tired of that 25 years ago. And I would have the shittiest job in the world if somebody said, you have to teach that to people. So when I teach questioning techniques, I get into the psychology. I get into the types of questions that are going to jumpstart their emotions and get them off that damn fence of indifference. So they're like, yeah, I don't know if I want to do this now or later, or I'll just ghost you, or whatever it is. No, man, we want to jumpstart those emotions. And that's part of the mission of asking questions, not just informational. So we're going to get into that psychology. We're going to talk about what to say and do if a prospect tells you they want to take three bids. We're going to talk about an email you must send after every new business appointment. I mean, it's non-negotiable. It's that important. Five ways to keep your prospect engaged. You ready for this? Between meetings. I want to say that again because I think that's so important. Five ways to keep your prospects engaged between meetings. Why do I think that's so important? Because I think that's when you're most vulnerable. When you're in a meeting with somebody, even if they're distracted, that's about as much of their attention as you're ever going to get. Seriously. The minute you are done with that meeting, they've got voicemails, they've got emails, they've got a million interruptions, and on top of it, they're human beings like you and I who suffer from ADD, basically. Seriously, that is the world today. It's not just people who've been diagnosed with ADD. We have so many damn things coming at us. We're all multitasking. We're hanging out, but at the same time, we're doing shit on social media, hanging out on Twitter. You know, it's just, we're distracted and pulled in a lot of directions. So we're going to talk about a communication plan that doesn't rely on you saying, yeah, I'm just calling to check in. We're also going to talk about three different things to do if you feel you've been ghosted. So if you'd like to learn more and to reserve your spot, visit yoursalesplaybook.com/finishstrong. yoursalesplaybook.com/finishstrong. With that, I'm Paul Castain from yoursalesplaybook.com. I am wishing you an incredible week ahead. Go get them. The Sales Playbook Podcast is a Castain Training Systems production.